Okay. Shkoj, thank you. This is the third time that I'm zeichet to be here in the Beis Medrash in Chachmei Lublin, just to see the changes that have taken place around the Beis Medrash. But the Beis Medrash remains essentially the same since Jews brought it back from the Polish, who were using it as a nursing school or something, dental school, a nursing school. The place is filled with ghosts, in a good way. We don't believe in ghosts. But in the ruach of exceptional Talmid Chachamim, many of whom were killed al Kiddush Hashem, most of whom were killed al Kiddush Hashem, we were zeichet to see, and I grew up with a few of the survivors from Chachmei Lublin, and I decided that to begin with, I want to speak a little bit about the yeshiva and Ramesh Shapiro here with the yeshiva for a few minutes. Again, I'm not a historian and it's not teaching history, but a little bit of the reka, a little bit of the background. We're in this holy place. So it's important to just give a little bit of the background. And then after we talk about Chachmei Lublin, we're going to learn Torah from the Chayzim Lublin, a Torah that you have in the booklet. We're going to learn a Torah from Reb Tzadik, from Reb Leibel Eger, and a Torah from Reb Tzadik. We're close enough to the graves, to the cemeteries, that from this place we're able to connect to those two cemeteries that we're going to go to in a little while. But this way we could have the Kahanim together with us. It's not right that we shouldn't all be together. And since we're in the Beis Medrash here, we should be able to learn something as a tzibur. So I decided, weather permitting, that I hope everybody's okay. It's a little bit warm in here. But that we'd be able to learn together in this Beis Medrash. It's something that might not seem like a big deal now, but like everything that happened on the last trip, in the future we'll come back to it a lot. This too is an important time in our lives to be in this Beis Medrash. So let me just go over a little bit. Again, without a lot of protem. First, you should know that when Rav Meir Shapir came up with this idea to build this absolutely elegant yeshiva for that time, there were many, many gedolim who were opposed to it. There were many who were against it. Now, we already take for granted, we try to have nice buildings, nice yeshivas. What's the chiddush? Adarabba, if we can make a nice yeshiva, it's terrific. Ramesh Shapiro saw the bizyonis of Talmid Chachamim. At that time, the general custom of the Bochum was to eat teg. I remember hearing this from my father. And that basically meant that the Bochum were at the mercy of Balabatim in town, some of whom were nice, and some of whom were not always so nice, and others were just very poor. And the Bochum ate very little. My father told me that in his place, Ungvar, there was a menza. There was a place where they actually gave a little bit to eat in the yeshiva, but most yeshivas didn't have that. Ramesh Shapiro wanted to make a magnificent yeshiva. This was the most beautiful yeshiva in the world. And in certain ways it remains one of the most beautiful yeshivas in the world. What was the reason for the Hisnagdus? So, there was a claim that Ramesh Shapira, although he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, was forgetting a Beferish Mishnah, Kach Darka Shal Torah, that the way of Torah is Pas B'melach Tochal, if you want to raise Talmid Chachamim, Pas B'melach Tochal, You have to have. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yes.
If you'd like to come through. Okay, sure. That's all. I guess there's no other way to go. The Jews that want to come here. It's good. Pas b'melach taicha. That to become, to raise a Talmud Chacham, you can't do that with sushi and with steaks. Pas b'melach taicha, the Mishnah says, some bread and salt. Umay b'mesura tishta, v'alariz tishan. A little bit of bread, a little bit of water, and to sleep on the floor. And that is the way to raise a Talmud Chacham. So there were those who were opposed to the whole concept of building such a place like we're in. There are many who were against it. So when Rav Meir Shapira was challenged by a certain Rav, a Rosh Yeshiva, with this question of, it's beferish in the Mishnah, pas b'melach taicha al mayim b'sura tishta, so Rav Meir Shapira said that you're not reading the Mishnah properly. The way the Tanna said the Mishnah was, kach darkel shel Torah? Kach darkel shel Torah? Is this fitting? Is this proper? Is this the way that a Jew should sit and learn Teres Hashem? Pas b'melach toichal? May b'mesura tishta v'la oriz tisham? That's Rameshpira. The whole Mishnah is a bitmir. Kach darkel shel Torah? Of course, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. But Rameh Shapira was one of those great Chachamah called Yoidei Bina Le'itim. He understood that changes were taking place in the world. And there was a great shift after World War I and how Jews were thinking about learning Torah. It was not considered to be a glamorous undertaking, Limud HaTorah. And as the Piz Etzner writes about in the introduction to Harvest HaTalmidim, and then he was asked, what about Chazal who say she'ena Torah miskayemes el b'misha meimis atzmo eleo zoyis chukas haTorah adam kiyomus ba'ohel, that the Torah is not miskayem unless a person mamish dies, gives up his life to learn. So Meir Shapira was asked, what are you trying to build such a place? They were shocked. They actually had laundry machines in the building. Back then, there were laundry machines. A mikveh in the same place it is now. A mikveh in the building. There was a model of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a library, we'll talk about that a little bit more, of over 50,000 svarim. So the question was, I ain't a Torah miskayem, I said, but Misha may miss out some alone. The Torah is only miskayem if a person dies for learning. So Rav Meir Shapira answered, and he said, it's true. But Memis Allah means, please close the door. Memis Allah means that a person kills himself to try to understand Pshat in the Gemara. It doesn't mean that you have to kill yourself from starvation. It doesn't mean you have to die because there's no heat in the building, because you don't have a good bed to sleep in. Memis Atzmo Allah means that a person has to pour all of his koiches into learning. Biyigia Atzuma. To pour everything he has, all of his energy, to be Memis Atzmo Allah. So for many, many years, Rav Meir Shapira was walking around with this idea. Rav Meir Shapira was considered to be from the greatest, greatest Eluyim in all of the world, not just in Europe. And he was going around talking to people about this until finally in 1923, at the time of the Knesset HaGedolah in 1923 in Vienna. You know the picture that came out, the film of the Chafetz Chaim? So at that time in Vienna in 1923, by the Knesset HaGedolah, the Rav Meir Shapira became friends with a Jew by the name of Rabbi Shmuel Eichenbaum. Rabbi Shmuel Eichenbaum is a very wealthy Jew from Lublin. And this Rabbi Shmuel one day was walking, he took a spazier, a tiul, with Rameh Shapira when they were in Lublin together. They took a walk together. And they went around a little bit in this Reb Shmuel's wagon. And they went to visit the kivus of the tzaddikim, the Marshal, and the Maharam, the Chayzim Lublin, who were in the cemeteries we were going to go to. And they were going around, and they came to a very big migrash, to a very large field. And Reb Shmuel said that I own this entire field. I own this entire property, which at the time was completely empty. And Rav Meir Shapiro says, why do you need such a place? What are you doing with this? And he said, to tell you the truth, it was a mitzvah. I got it for a very low price. I don't know what I would do with it. And Rav Meir Shapiro told him, the way it's written in the Sefer, is, Ani agilucha madua kaniso, his son. And that was the beginning of the career of one of the greatest fundraisers of all time. As much as he despised that, as many of the most famous fundraisers despised it, the Malacha. I'm going to tell you in a little while, not now, I'm going to tell you why you bought this piece of property. And you bought it for something which is for a very exalted and great reason, but it's not yet the time to tell you why. So Meir Shapiro stayed there for a few more days, and they were together, and he shared with Reb Shmuel Eichenbaum his dream of having a beautiful yeshiva. All Reb Meir Shapiro asked for was a part of this entire area, a piece. And Reb Shmuel Eichenbaum said, absolutely not, I will not agree to that. It's the entire property, which was the front, the huge area in the front. And also, there was a magnificent garden. Now it's buildings, but there was a magnificent garden that was in the back. A beautiful, beautiful garden in the back of the yeshiva. And the two of them did a rikud. Reb Shmuel Eichenbaum and Reb Meir Shapiro did a rikud over there. They were dancing, and there were a few other chevra that saw them dancing in this open field, and they knew that it was the famous Reb Meir Shapiro, and they came to dance with Reb Meir Shapiro and Reb Shmuel. They didn't know why they were dancing, but they were happy they were dancing, so Jews went to dance with them. And then all of a sudden Reb Meir Shapiro stopped, and he threw himself onto the ground with his ear on the ground, and he said to Reb Shmuel, come, listen. And Reb Shmuel didn't know what was going on, but they were both lying there with their head on the floor, with the ear on the floor. And he said, Reb Shmuel, do you also hear the sound of the Torah that's going to be learned in this place already coming up from the ground? That's a pretty good pitch. Do you hear the sound? But it was really, he was a tzaddik. Do you hear the sound of Torah coming from this place? And the rest took many, many years. The Evan Hapina, the foundation stone, the Evan Hapina was laid Lag B'Omer Tafresh Pei Dalet in 1924 of this building. This was a great historical event. There were over 50,000 Jews. 50,000 Jews at that time, including all of the big rebbes of Poland who came. Thank you. Who came for the Hanochas Evan Hapina, including the Rebbe of Reb Meir Shapiro, the Holy Chotkever, Rebbe Yisrael, the Chotkever Rebbe, came, and the Emir Emes was there. And before the program began, I want you to know this because this is where we're going to be going, that before the program began, he took a number of Talmidim and they went to the Beis HaChaim, to the cemetery, in order to invite the tzaddikim. And we're told that he came to the place of Rabbi Yaakov Polak, that was the beginning of Pilpul, the father of the yeshivas of Poland, Rabbi Shalom Shachne. Rabbi Shalom Shachne was the Rebbe of the Ramah. We're going to be by the Ramah Mitzvah tomorrow. Rabbi Shalom Shachne was the Rebbe of the Ramah. The Maharshal, we're going to be today. Maram, the Maram, we're going to be by today. Went to the other cemetery, the new cemetery, the Chayzim Lublin. And then Reb Meir Shapiro stood on a certain hilltop that was there, and this is what he said. I mean, I have it in Lashon Kodesh, of course, he said in Yiddish, but this is the way it was written in the Sefer that I saw. Rabbeinu HaKadoshim Chachmei Lublin. Rabbeinu HaKadoshim Chachmei Lublin. He was speaking to the tzaddikim who were buried in the cemetery. Atem shehirbatzdem es ha-Torah kan. You spread Torah in this place. V'yisadetem yeshivas, and you established the great yeshivas. Because here was the beginning of the great yeshivas of all of Poland. Began in Lublin. V'ha'amadetem talmidim harbei, and you had many, many students. Atem rabbeisai, shemeorachem anu nezainim, we are sustained by your light. When we live from your mouths. I have come to tell you, Kani Abdechem Yehuda Meir ben Margala, that I have come, Yehuda Meir ben Margala was his name, Hechlatiti Lahachzir Atar Eliyoshna. I have decided to bring the crown back to its original place. Vehinini Mazminchem Lechag Hanochis Evin Yisoid Lahechel Atar. I invite you to join us by the placing of the cornerstone of the yeshiva, Labayis Shenegadl by Torah Ad Bias Hagoa, a place where we're going to raise Torah and the honor of Torah until Mashiach comes. Ubatuach ani b'schuscham ubeschus terascham, and I am confident in your schus, the schus of your Torah. That I'll be matzliach for the sake of Hashem's holy name and for the sake of His holy Torah. The Rebbe's from, besides the Imre Emes and the Charkiver, the Rebbe's from Sokolov, that's actually my son-in-law's great-grandfather, the Rebbe from Sokolov, it's really his great-grandfather. The Sokolover came, the Slonimer Rebbe was here, the Mudges, who he was zeichet to see, buried in Warsaw in the cemetery. The Kozhentser Rebbe was here, the Novominsky Rebbe was here, Shuli's other great-grandfather. And all the Admarim, all of the other tzaddikim from Poland came. There was a telegram that came from Yerushalayim, from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Telegram came from the Chofetz Chaim that he wasn't well enough to be able to come, he wanted to come. From the Belzer Rebbe, from all over the world. And the Divrei Torah that Rav Meir Shapiro gave there is very, very beautiful, very remarkable. It's not for now. It was Lag BaOmer. And he reminded the entire Olam about the connection between the Hanochas Evin HaPina, the laying of the cornerstone of Chachmei Lublin, and Lag BaOmer. Because Rabbi Shimon was the one, of course, who stood up and all of the other Chachamim despaired. And all of the other Chacham said it's not possible that the Torah should be able to continue. And that was the feeling that was in the world at that time. The feeling in Europe at that time was that Torah didn't have a future. And you remember, as Rabbi Nachum brings that Rabbi Nosson put it as the Hagdam of Lukutu Meiran, the Gemara, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Ki lo yishakach mipi zara, the Pasuk in Chumash, that the Torah will never ever be forgotten. Chas v'sholem, shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. So Meir Shapiro said, it's Lag BaOmer, it's the day of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the one who told the entire world that had given up hope on the future of Torah, Chas v'sholom, lo tishtakach Torah miYisrael. And he said, it's also the Yom HaHilula of the Ramah. It used to be here on Lag BaOmer, not here in Krakow, that's where the Ramah is buried, in Krakow. Jews came from all over Poland and even beyond Poland, Lag BaOmer, to the scene of the Ramah. And this is also, he said, Rav Meir Shapiro, the Yom HaHilula, the Hilula of the Ramah, who is a Talmud of the first yeshiva of Lublin. And he said, Yudei Lublin, Halachti ani lahazman es Chachmei Lublin. I went to the cemetery earlier today to invite the Chachmei Lublin. And they're certainly here in this place. But until the actual building was made, it would take many, many years. Terrible, terrible disappointments. Really, it ended up costing him his health and his life. He died a young man. It would be many, many years that he had to spend in every Jewish community. He was an American. Every town, every city where there were Jews in America, which was a schus for the Jews here in America. He was very shocked, not here, There in America, he was very shocked by the Chil Shabbos. He was very shocked by the Chil Shabbos. He said a whole word on why we switch off Yinuch Ba, Yinuch Ba, Yinuch Ba. So he says, Vayinuch Ba. He says that because someone has to wash the store. First, he says, Vayinuch Ba. What's the first one? Vayinuch Ba, right? So first, the wife is able to come home, but the husband's still at work Friday night. He's still in the store. So it's only Vayinuch Ba. That's what we say Friday night. Then Vayinuch Ba'i would be Shabbos morning, he would go to shul. Ramesh saw that Shabbos morning, I remember this growing up, that there were people their stores were open on Shabbos, but they would come in the morning to shul. And they would go in a little bit late. So Vayinuch Ba'i, and only when it was a short winter day, and it was a winter, Shabbos was over early, then it was Vayinuch Ba'am. And then by Milchir already, maybe they were both having Shabbos. And he said many, many things about what he saw in America. What he went through, unbelievable bizyonis that he went through. There are many, many stories of that time. Again, I don't want to go into it now. Till finally, it was 1930. Remember, the project began in 1923. In 1930, the yeshiva was finished, had a modern kitchen. The library, as I mentioned before, 50,000 svarim. They were being learned from until the time of the Holocaust. There was a very priceless collection here in the building of Kisvei Yad, of manuscripts, of very old manuscripts, very rare manuscripts. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came to Lublin. The first place they came to was the yeshiva. And they took out all of the svarim. There are only a few that somehow survived. They took out all of the svarim and they burned the svarim in front of the building over here, where we came in with the bus. They burnt all the svarim. It took 20 hours. There was a fire of the svarim from the yeshiva burning for 20 hours. All the Jews of Lublin, religious, non-religious, were screaming and crying. And they were watching all the svarim and Sefer Torah going up in fire. And the Germans had a band that was playing, an orchestra that was playing, while the svarim were burning for that entire time. There are still some of the svarim that are in Heichal Shlomo that somehow managed to get out from here, that the Nazis didn't find, and they're in Heichal Shlomo in Yerushalayim. So in that year, 1930, the Chanukah Sabayis took place, the 2 days of Chav Ches and Chav Tes Sivan, which is coming up. Chav Ches, Chav Tes Sivan. And Rav Meir Shapiro went on a journey, on a trip throughout Poland, to invite the different tzaddikim. And his own Rebbe, the Chartkever, Schusi Yelenu, was very, very concerned. And he said to Ramesh Shapira, you know, that you're making such a big to-do, you're making such a tumult over this Chanukah Sabayis, and you have to remember that the first Luchais also came with a very big tumult. The first luchos came with a tremendous commotion. And they didn't last. They were broken. And only the second luchos that were given bitzinah, they were given in a more intimate and private way. So those are the luchos that lasted. So the Chortkev was very, very worried about the entire Chanukah Sabayis that Meir Shapiro wanted to make. So listen to what Meir Shapiro said. Again, I'm just reading to you what it says in the Sefer. Rav Meir Shapiro said the following: Be'emes, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, tzoyif u'ma b'tas tzoyif kol hadoros. The Baruch Shalom sees all future generations. V'yoda ki asidin haluchos l'ishtaber, and the Baruch Shalom knew that the first luchos were going to be broken. The Baruch Shalom knew that the luchos were going to be broken. So why did the Baruch Shalom give the first luchos? Why did he enter that into that entire mahalach of the whole rash of the first luchos? Could have given quietly luchos without making the whole first luchos. They were doomed. Ella, ha'olam ha'isat kufa ha'ishakur b'choshech. Ubegil Arai is Avodah Zarah. Because at that time when we left Mitzrayim, the whole world was immersed in filth and in darkness. And the world needed a shock. There needed to be something shocking to take place. A surprise, a shock. To turn the entire world upside down. And to wake up the world from that sleep that it was in. So Hashem said, I'm going to give the luchos and I'm going to invite everybody. It's going to be with a lot of noise. It's going to be a big party, the first luchos. Even though I know that when you make such a thing, it's not going to work out. In the end, they're going to be broken. Just so that my name will be revealed and will be made known to the world. So the Rami Shapiro said to his Rebbe, Gam ani toyin kach. I also say that. Shagam im chalila, alulo litzmoyach mehar pesoimis, ayin hara, asha yazikli ishis. Rami Shapiro said that even as a result of this big thing that I'm making with the yeshiva, I'm going to be drawing upon myself an ayin hara that could cause me personally to suffer. Muchan ani limser es navshi, kedei leroy meim es keren hatorah ba'olam. I'm prepared to give up my life, which is what happened. I'm prepared to give up my life in order to raise the covet of Torah in the world. And the Charkiver heard what Rami Shapiro said, and he gave his bracha. Of course, Rami Shapiro was menabe v'lo yada masha menabe. What he was saying ended up happening to him. He died a few years after the yeshiva was built. He spent very few years here in the yeshiva. And when it came time for the Chanukah Sabayis, so once again Rami Shapiro went to the cemeteries that we're going to in a little while. Rami Shapiro went to the cemeteries. But he told afterwards that he was worried. He didn't know which cemetery he should go to first. Should he go to the old cemetery that it has the Mishpat HaBukhaira, the old cemetery, with the Marshal, the Maram, Rav Shalom Shachner, Rav Yaakov Pollack, and so on? Or should he go to the new cemetery with the Chayzim Lublin, who was the Rebbe of all the Rebbes? Or should he go to the new cemetery and first invite the Chayzim? So he said that he wasn't sure, and then all of a sudden the pasuk came into his head, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avram es kor. So I saw and I was thinking, why did this pasuk come into my head? So you see that it goes in the opposite order. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, and only after Yaakov, then v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avram es kor. So I saw from that pasuk that it came into my head that I should first go to the younger one. I should first go to the new cemetery where the Chayzim Lublin is buried. So we went to the cemetery with the Chayzim, by the Chayzim, and I threw myself upon the Chayzim's tzion. And when my head was on the tzion, I opened my eyes when I was lying there, and I saw the words Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak ben Avram. The Chayzim's name is Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak ben Avram. Yaakov Yitzchak ben Avram. And I saw this was an ois ben Hashemai, that this was the correct thing to do. As many people as were here by the Evan Hapina, there were more, many, many more that came. This was a very big event in the entire world. There were newspaper journalists, writers that came from all over the world to be here. The gate, there was a big gate, I don't remember this, there was a big iron gate at the end, all the way at the end of the front section of the front yard. And only the people who had tickets were able to come into the courtyard. So that allowed approximately 20,000 people to be able to get into the courtyard, and there were over 100,000, 150,000, they say, that were outside, who were the amcha, who were poor people, because they charged money. It was also a fundraising union, and only people who paid a lot of money were able to get into the courtyard to go beyond those gates. And this was not something that Meir Shapiro was pleased with. The people who were working on the building campaign arranged this. And Rav Meir Shapiro just screamed out, "Pischu shorim v'yovoi goy tzadik," open the gates. And they opened the gates here, and there was a flood of amcha. All the poor Jews came in, and they were pushing, and the whole place was spilling over, every single window, every single place around. Try to imagine what that was. It was unbelievable Kiddush Hashem in the world that took place. An unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. The Rebbe, from the Ger Rebbe, the Chartkev, Amshnev, and son, all the Majits, all the big tzaddikim were here. Ramesh Shapiro gave a speech, a drasha, in Polish, because there were many Polish ministers that came to the Chanukah Sabbath. He gave a speech in Polish, he gave a speech in Yiddish, and he said this speech in Lashon HaKodesh. He wanted it should be even for the Fruma, for the Zionists. The Mizrahi Chevra, they liked it in Lashon HaKodesh. Ramesh Shapiro, he didn't say like Shabbat. That's not the proper way to talk. He said Shabbos. He gave the drasha in Polish, in Yiddish, and in Lashon HaKodesh. The drasha, which we have. We have the whole drasha. No, at the end, the Kfiyas HaMezuzah was the Imre Emes, was the one who put the mezuzah on the door. The mezuzah was a mezuzah that belonged to the Kotzke. It was the Kotzke from the Kotzke's home that was, I don't know how it got here or whatever, but they had the Kotzke's mezuzah. When the mezuzah was placed in the door, Rabbi Meir Shapiro called out, "Geshem sheniftechu kan lamata shari ha-yeshiva." Just as here in this world we're now opening the gates of the yeshiva, kach lamala, so too above, Rabbanu Shalom tiftach shari yeshuas v'nechomis la'am Yisrael. Rabbanu Shalom, open up the shari yeshuas v'nechomis for'am Yisrael. And the thousands and thousands and thousands of people, religious and not religious, screamed out, "Amen." Say the whole Lublin was able to hear. So thousands of goyim all over came to watch this also. To talk about the learning that was going on here and the level of learning, I think all of you have heard, just to get into this Bishop Medrash, there were some exceptions. There were poor, from poor families or Yesaimim, not all of them had to know 350 blat or 500 blat by heart with all the Rishayim, and there were others that were allowed into the yeshiva, but for the most part, those who came to this yeshiva were the greatest of the greatest of the young Talmidei Chachamim of Poland. It was a Chassidish yeshiva. The Mashgiach here was a Tzadik Yisod Olam Reb Shimla Zalachov. Reb Shimla was a Baki Beniglu Benister, gave Shiurim here in this Beis Medrash, Kisidram, in Tanya, in Lukuta Maran. Rosh Hashanah, this place was filled with Breslov Chassidim, because there was a Breslov kibbutz in Poland that had no real nice place to come daven, and the boys who were here would go home for Rosh Hashanah to go by their rebbes, whoever their rebbes were. They would go back to their rebbes wherever they came from Ger or wherever they went. So the building was really empty, and they were called umanas at that time. They weren't called Breslovs, they were called umanas. And Meir Shapiro stayed here, and he describes the unbelievable hanor that he had davening with the Breslov Chassidim here in the Beis Medrash. So Rosh Hashanah, this is all Breslov in this place. The whole kibbutz from Poland came to daven here in Chachma Lublin. The way that he died was so shocking. It seemed that he had a cold. He had a cold, and he began to tell the Talmidim that they should prepare for his end. His Rebbetzin didn't know what he was talking about. Doctors came and they saw him and they said that he had maybe at that time it was a strep throat or something. He had an infection, a cold, but it was nothing that was particularly serious. And even at that time they had some medication to help with this. And he said, "No, and he knew exactly when he was going to die. He had all the Talmidim gathered in the Beis Medrash, and they brought him on a bed. He was getting weaker and weaker. It was Zayin Cheshvan. That Shabbos was unbelievable. There were people who, there might be one or two are still alive from those who were there at that time. Rav Ozner was, you all heard of Rav Ozner, just was nifter a few years ago, the Shevet HaLevi. Rav Ozner was one of the biggest Talmidim of Chachmei Lublin. He named the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. His yeshiva in Bnei Brak was named Chachmei Lublin. And he told over what happened that Shabbos and that day that Rav Meir Shapir was nifter. And he had the Bachim do a rikud around his bed. And he couldn't talk anymore. And he wrote on it tzatzel, he wrote a little note which said, Rak b'simcha, rak b'simcha. Only b'simcha, b'simcha. And he died. It was a shock to the entire world, to all the Jews of Poland and everywhere else. Zayin Cheshvan. It was exactly 10 years later. Zayin Cheshvan, 1943. Where the Germans completed the liquidation of the Jews, of the Jewish community of Lublin. It was completely wiped out. As of last night, I asked Yankel, he says, now there are maybe 20 or 30 Jews here that live in Lublin. The entire Lublin, which is one of the most beautiful and one of the most ancient communities of Jews in Poland, was exactly in Zayin Cheshvan, was wiped out. 17,000 Jews were rounded up that day and were taken to Majdanek, where we're going to go in a little bit. They were taken to Majdanek. What happened to Rav Meir Shapir? Where is Rav Meir Shapir buried? Do you know? Where is Rav Meir Shapir? In Har Menuchas. He's buried in Har Menuchas. On the 25th of Elul, 1958, Rav Meir Shapiro's remains were taken and they're buried in Har Menuchas. And many, many people have the schus to be able to go. I was there, and many people have the schus to be able to go and to daven by his tzion. So, Chevra, this is the place that we're in. This is the place that we're in right now. And the same way that Rav Meir Shapira davened on that day when the mezuzah of the Kotzke was being put on the door, that Yiftachu Shari Rachmim. So we should also have that in mind. We'll sing a little bit afterwards. We'll sing a little bit of a niggun. Maybe we could do that now and then I'll continue. We'll sing a little bit of a niggun. And we should have in mind that Yiftachu Shari Rachmim, that in the schus, that Jews brought back this place, and are coming to this place, and are davening here, and the sound of Torah and the sound of Tefillah is being heard here. That Yiftachu Shari Rachmim, Yeshuas v'Nechamas, Lonu L'Kol Yisrael. Thank you. Okay, take out the kudrus you have. Let's learn. On page 13 and 14, there's a Torah from Zikaron Zeis from the Chaim Lublin. For now, let us suffice to say that this tzaddik, the Chaim Lublin, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi Horovitz, 10th generation from the Shlach Kaddish, Susi Aleinu, the Talmud Muvok of the Rebbe Elimelech, we're going to go to Mitzvah later. The holiest eyes in the world. The Chaim Lublin, there are a million stories that we would need many, many weeks to be here. And as much as we're enjoying our stay, I don't want to be here for many weeks. You know the Mezuzah Magid had many, many great Talmidim. The Baal Tanya, the Rebbe Shmalkir, Rebbe Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, the Rebbe Zushia, the Rebbe Elimelech, and so on. And after the Mezuzah Magid was Nifter, and even during his lifetime, they began to cover different areas of Europe, to go to different places. It's very well known that the tzaddikim say in the pasuk "V'nahar yitzei mi'eden," it says in Bereishis that a river, "V'nahar yotzei mi'eden," a river was flowing out from Gan Eden la'ashkoit es agan to irrigate the garden. Mishom yipareid v'hoya la'arba roish, and from there the river divided to four heads. So the tzaddikim said that Eden is the Baal Shem Tov, the river, the Nahar, is the Mizrucha Magid, Gan, the garden, is the Rebbe Elimelech. The Arba Roshim that the river would divide into is the Chaizim Lublin, the Kozhin Samagid, the Rebbe Reb Mendel from Rimanov, and the Oiv Yisrael, the Abderov. And each one took a different part of the Rebbe Elimelech. The Chayze took the eyes to be able to see great distance, and Chadri Halev, to see into the depths of the heart. So the Chayze took the eyes, the Kozhin Samagid took the heart of the Rebbe Elimelech, Reb Mendel Rimanover, the Neshama, and the Oiv Yisrael, the Koach HaDibur. The Koach HaDibur. Let's learn this Torah in Zikaron Zeis. How I chose to learn most of the Torahs we're going to be learning are from Parshas Baloischa, from the different Svarim, because we're in Parshas Baloischa, so I wanted to learn that we should learn from the Parsha. But when I was learning Zikaron Zeis Friday night this winter, so I decided, you know, I really like this Torah. Let's learn it by the Chayza. So that's what we're doing now. There could be 100,000 other Torahs. I'm not saying that this Torah is any greater or less, we're not who could measure anything like this. But this is a Torah that I had that Friday night. I had a very big Hisaris from that Torah, and I said, I decided we'd learn it together. So it takes a few minutes. Let's learn it inside. V'yaseifu ha-shalit al ha'aretz. So let's connect ourselves to the tzion, to the place of the Chaizim of Lin was buried very close to here. Let's make that connection. So it should be that we're learning this Torah, the schus of his great neshama. It should be a schus for his neshama, it should be a schus for us to be learning his Torah in this place. V'yosef hu ha-shalit al ha'aretz. Let me introduce this. You know, when I'm very upset with the guy here in Poland. I don't know if you noticed that. Okay. I'm holding back a lot, but I'm not fond of the local population. I don't hold back. We all have a lot of kindness. So I wanted a Torah that would be able to be piled something. We'll get to that as well. A lot of the Torahs that we're going to be learning have to do with my angst over what happened to us in Poland. I mean, the whole Eish Kodesh, of course, is that, and that's why I named the shul Eish Kodesh. We've been learning his svarim. This is all Eish Kodesh, everything here. It's all Eish Kodesh. I thought we were going to pass on the... Ellie, we didn't pass the sign. We didn't go on the same highway. There's an exit when you leave Warsaw. There's an exit, Pisetsna. There's an exit. It's in the outskirts of Warsaw. I didn't notice it yesterday. I mean, I wasn't watching the whole time. You saw it? You saw the signs at Pisetsna? Yeah, it should. Yeah, it should be. I saw it last time. And I remember last time we were here when we were by the Gerebis Medrash, when we were able to go into Gerebis Medrash. There was a car that was parked over there. Had a license plate that said on Pisetsna. Yeah. Maybe there's a car dealer in PSS, I don't know what's there. Because I have a picture, one of the chavers sent me, made an album. It's a car that's at PSS. V'yosef hu ha-shalit al ha'aretz. Yosef is a shalit. Was in control, was ruling over the land. The Chayes' Torahs are very hard. Very hard. There's a lot of Kabbalah in them. We're going to just learn it. Simple pshat, just what I can understand. And I ask anybody that has a different understanding, we're all cheverim here. This is not a tour. This is the chever. So please correct me or tell me what you're thinking. Hatzadik poyel shnei dvar. Now remember that Polish chassidus until pshischa. Polish Hasidus followed the Mahalach, not really of the Mizritcha Magid, but of the Rebbe Reb Melech, where we're going. It was a Hasidus that was Amamit. I don't know how we'd say Amamit. Amamit. It was of the people. The focus was on the Tzaddik, the Torahs that we find by the Rebbe Reb Melech. Almost every Torah is about the Tzaddik. In his Talmidim, Tefer Shleimer, Chayze, the Tzaddik, the Tzaddik, the Tzaddik, the Tzaddik, the Tzaddik. Emunah Pshuta, these are the recurring things in that world of the Rabbi Elimelech, the Chayzer, the Abderov, and so on. But the Tzaddik, this was the time when the courtyard of the Tzaddik was established. By the Mizritcha Magid, it wasn't yet really established. The Mizritcha Magid was essentially a teacher of great people. He didn't have a chassidus with an oilam, he had Talmidim. It became a chassidus. Chassidus developed into a way of life after the p'tir of the Mizritcha Magid. Then it already developed into a way of life with the Rebbe and the way the chassidus and all chassidus and the minhagim how it developed at that time. So many of the Torahs of the Chayzer are about the tzaddik. The Yosef was shalit al haaretz. Obviously, Yosef tzaddik is going to be the favorite person by these tzaddikim. Hatzaddik poel shnei dvarim. The tzaddik brings about is poel two things. Diniksiv be'elisha shebikesh me'elio. Elisha asked from Eliyahu Novi. Before Eliyahu Novi went up in a storm to Shemayim, Elisha asked for two things. He asked bikesh me'elio rather for double. What did he ask? V'yuna pishnayim b'ruchacha elai. It's a very, very strange request. Elisha asked Eliyahu, "V'yuna pishnayim v'ruchacha elai, pishnayim." The Torah Samach Vav Mukudam Aran on the singing of pishnayim. That Elisha asked from Eliyahu, "Pishnayim, double your ruach." P Pishnaim Ruchacha, I want, I'm asking you to give me twice of what you had before you die, or before you go away. L'chayr, the Chayze asks, Tamu alavakesh me'odam ma'asha'ein lai. How could Elisha ask from Eliyahu Navi twice of what Eliyahu has? You could only ask a person to give what he has. You can't ask somebody to give twice what he has. You can only give what he has. So this bakasha, Harry, this bakasha, this request of Pishnayim Ruchacha Eli, to ask for double, it's odd. Tamur levakesh b'odem ha'she'en lai. V'yesh lever. Dihine Elio ha'yapoyel toivus. We see that the tzaddik Elio was poyel toivus. The tzaddik is preoccupied, as we were talking about in the piece Mukut Alachas yesterday, the tzaddik is preoccupied with being poyel toivus for Am Yisrael and for the whole world. Even for those who have died, which Eliyahu Navi of course brought back from death. And he davened for rain. And the tzaddik, when he davens to bring tovus into the world, the tzaddik is answered. The true tzaddikim are able to be poel very big things. V'chein ra'os. But we also find that there were things that Eliyahu asked for that were not chesed rachim. They were din. Dinim. K'may shomar chai Hashem im yeh talamotu. Without going into the whole story in Sefer Melachim, Eliyahu Navi was not pleased with what was happening at that time and how we were behaving. And therefore he stopped the rain. He davened that the rain should stop to bring us to our senses. And there was a famine. There was a drought. V'hayakein. So we see, the Chayza says that there are two things that the tzaddik is poel. He's poel chesodim, rachmim chesodim, toivus. And the tzaddik is also poel when he deems it necessary. The tzaddik is also poel dinim in the world. Dinim. Harshness or difficulties. Punishments. V'zebikesh, and this is what Elisha was asking for. He wasn't asking Elio Hanavi for something that Elio didn't have. He was asking Elio for the koach of the tzaddik, which is called pishnai. The tzaddik has that koach that's pishnai, to be poiled the valdigi yeshuas and to bring punishment upon the rishayim. She yochel lufal befiv shnai minyan. Rachmim lemisha yachpais v'yigza befiv. Rachmim for the tzaddik wants to bring rachmim. V'din al oiv de kachov. And the tzaddik brings din upon the oiv de kachov, upon the idol worshippers. K'moi, this seems to be a printing mistake that goes back a long way. Most likely, as it's brought down in the note, most likely it should read Kamosha Po'al Gam Din, that Elisha was Po'al, not Shefa, Shepo'al, the Lamed probably, something happened, the printing. Kamosha Po'al Gam Din Al Yidei HaMelchom Shal Yisrael, that we see that Elisha was Po'al Dinim, that he was Po'al Dinim with our enemies, that Tzaddik leads us to war. Poel dinim, and by the Rishoyim, v'chein alatinoike shiyotzu dubim ubiku mehem, the ma'isa there in Sefer Melachim, with those na'urim that were mocking the Navi and so on, and what happened to them, that they were punished. So the tzaddik is poel both things. So Elisha asked Eliyahu for pishnayim biruchacha, the koch that the tzaddik has to be poel toivus and chesodim, and the koach that the tzaddik has to be poel dinim. And Elisha received this. V'zeh, and that is the meaning of Yiyu Beruchacha Eloi. that Yiburchacha Eli Tieli Yachilas Kain, that Elisha was asking his Rebbe Elio that he too would have this koyach of the tzaddik, the Pishnai. V'zeish lefarish v'yosef, and now the Rebbe the Chayze explains, and Hashem's book should be part that through learning this Torah about the koyach of the tzaddik, that in the schus of the Chayze and all the tzaddikim, that we should see gevaldig yeshuas for Am Yisrael, and we should see mapol of our enemies, and particularly of those here in this place that we're in, that we're visiting, who brought them, their parents, their grandparents, brought so much sorrow to Am Yisrael. V'zeh yesh lefarish v'yosef ha-tzadik poel hu ha-shalit al ha-aris. So Yosef the tzadik hu ha-shalit al ha-aris, he rules over the earth. Yochel ha-hamshech din u-pachad al mishiraitzeh. He has the strength, the ability, the tzaddik, to draw din and fear and terror upon those who he wants. V'zeha shalit al ha'aretz. Shalit al ha'aretz. He has the koach to be shalit al ha'aretz. The Chayz is saying that aretz, on the one hand, implies din, and those in this world deserve din. Hu ha'mashbir. And Yosef HaTzadik is the one who would support and give sustenance, which is Gam Chesed Mamshech L'chol Am Haaretz, which means to all Jews, L'chol Am Haaretz. He's the Mashbe, the Tzadik brings din upon our enemies, draws down dinim upon our enemies, and brings Chesodim and Hashpoz Tovus upon Kol Am Haaretz, all Jews. Oy bederach hazeh, dini Isa Kadosh Baruch Hu nigla v'nista. The Chayzer says that we know that Hashem is galu v'sosim, that Hashem is revealed and hidden. He's nigla v'nista. There are parts about him that he reveals to us, but mostly he's hidden. V'chein ha-taira, v'chein Yisrael. And so it is, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that the same way that Hashem is both revealed and hidden, so Araisa also is Galia, is Golui, and Sosum, and hidden. V'chein HaTorah, v'chein Yisrael. So too with each and every one of us. There's a part of us that's revealed, that looks a certain way to ourselves and to the world, and there's a part of us that's very, very hidden, that we usually don't even know about ourselves. V'ni HaTzadik Mamshech Shefa Me'achasodim Shehem B'koyach Shekosh Baruch Hu Noitzer Chesed Shoymer U'mitzap Alaseis Chesed. And along the lines of what he was saying before, the tzaddik wants more than anything to bring out, to reveal the deepest chasodim. Because Hashem is Noitzer Chesed, which means that Hashem is Shoymer U'mitzap Alaseis Chesed. Noitzer means that Hashem is waiting and longing to be goymel chesed to us. V'ze'ene pekicha d'loinim. And Hashem's eye is open and never closes, never goes to sleep. L'moshel al shu mashgiach v'noitzeh chesed l'asa is chesed imanu. To be noitzeh chesed with each and every one of us. V'atzadik, page 14. Mamshich harotzen, and the role of the tzadik. The word rotzen is to be megala Hashem's rotzen, Hashem's deepest will. To be megala the deepest part of who we are. What do we really want? What's my true rotzen? Not what I think that I want. The tzaddik has the koach to be megala the rotzen hamechusa, the rotzen that's salsu, the rotzen that's hidden inside of me, the toiv that's inside of me. The tzaddik wants to help us to reveal that. And Hashem is Noitzer Chesed. He's waiting and longing to do that. Noitzer is the Oisius Rotzen. Me'akoyach el ha'poel. Lovo lo'olam bonei chai mezoni. That everybody should have children and good health and parnasa. V'zeh nigla v'nista. Hagam sheposhetu. Gam kein nigla mitzad pu lo'isav v'ma'isav anagosos hakol. We see this, that Hashem, in a way that is, we could see with our eyes, that Hashem helps, brings this about. He brings, it doesn't help. He brings this about in our lives. But v'nista mitzad atzmi yisbarach l'olam, but Hashem Himself is so hidden from us. Achen gam hanal hu emes. But both of these are true. There's nigla, there's that which is revealed, and there's nista, that which is hidden. V'alkein shem hatzadik hutzof nas paneh. Therefore, the name of tzadik, the name of Yosef HaTzadik that he was named in Mitzrayim, was Tzofnas Panech, the one who was able to reveal secrets, who knows and reveals secrets, because that's the job of the tzadik. The tzadik's main tafkid is to be megala the chesodim of Hashem in this world, who's noitzer chesed, to megala the rotzen hanister, and to bring out in each and every one of us the deepest, most hidden ritzonis that we have. Nigla v'nista. Tzofnas paneach. Mashahoyu achesodim achusim v'nelim v'koyach. Paneach ha'isam. That Yosef, the tzaddik, is tzofnas paneach. That he's able to reveal these deep secrets. Shemaitziyam lachutz letzarech ha'olam. And he brings them out for the sake of the world. The truth is that everything Hashem does is chesed. So the pishnaim really, it's all chesed. Gam ha-gvuras, al-rishoyim, even the gvuras, even the punishment of the wicked, it's of course a chesed. The punishment of the wicked comes in that form of din. But that of course itself is a chesed. The Oivdek Chav Negoyim can also be called Eretz. Shehem Rak Kmei Eretz Lamata, the earth, because they're completely invested in mundane things, in earthly existence. That's their entire world, is the earth. And all they think about is Aretzias, is earthly things. The tzaddik is the shalit al ha'aretz. Remember yesterday about the Umschlag Platz, we were learning that Torah from the younger Rabbi from Slonim about the Ben HaMelech, the prince, who was being beaten. And he said, right now, I'm being beaten. But the beating that I'm taking is not going to be forgotten. And that the Goyim themselves are going to bear testimony for what they did to the Ben Melech. But like the younger Rebbe said, he didn't lose himself. He didn't lose himself. That's the Ikkar. Not to lose oneself. And to know that in the end, we're going to be Menatzeach. And the end, Hashem's Yom Nakam Alibi, the day of revenge, is in Hashem's heart, hidden, and it's going to be revealed. Therefore, in truth, the tzaddik rules over the world. And it says, V'yosef could have just said, V'yosef ha-shalit. Who is always referring to that which is distant and hidden. Merumas b'olam ha-nista. Hu ha-shalit. The tzaddik rules over that, all that is hidden. Misham moshuch lanu chesed. And from there, the tzaddik draws from the same place, that the tzaddik brings punishment upon the wicked. From that very same place, the tzaddik pishnaim draws chesed upon Am Yisrael. Hein la'achnia soinim, to subdue and to destroy those who hate the Jewish people. Zehu ha-shalit al ha'aretz. In the end, the tzaddik is the shalit al ha'aretz over our enemies. Heim oivdei kechavim, the idol worshippers, moishel behem, shalayucha lahagbiya roishim negdeinu, that in the end, the rishoyim will not be able to lift up their heads to us. V'chein nami hu ha-mashbiya l'chol am ha'aretz. But while the tzaddik has that aspect of chesed through the dinim that he brings upon the rishoyim, the wicked, he provides through that very same koach, he provides l'chol am ha'aretz, And that's Koyal Yisrael, that's talking about all Jews. K'mayish Isa, Amhar, Yigamuhu, Ba'oven, Perish Rashi, Am Shebishvilam, Nivra Ha'aretz. Even the simplest Jews, even Jews who are not so good, are called Am Ha'aretz. Am She'osid, Linchal Es Ha'aretz. So Chazal say a beautiful thing. Am She'osid, Linchal Es Ha'aretz, that even the littlest Jew is called an Am Ha'aretz, which is not a compliment when you call somebody an Am Ha'aretz. It's not a compliment. But Chazal turned it into a compliment because the deeper meaning of it is Am She'osid Linchal Es Ha'aretz. Every Jew, even an Am Ha'aretz, even a plain person who doesn't know anything, Osid Linchal Es Ha'aretz, in the end, he too will have a piece of Eretz Yisrael. He too has a place in the Baruch Shalom's world, and Hashem will help him and take care of him as well. Okay, let's go now a little bit to Reb Leib Le'Eger. Page 17. Okay, Leib Le'Eger, if you want to hear about his life, many years ago I gave shiurim on the number of tzaddikim, and there are quite a few shiurim that I gave on Leib Le'Eger. Just an interesting little reminder for those who are heard those shiurim, and if you didn't, his life is very fascinating. The whole parasha of Reb Leib Le'Eger, Rabbi Kiveger's grandson, and what happened to Reb Shlomo Le'Eger with his great father. One of the fascinating little trivia things from the life of Reb Leib Le'Eger is that it was his father, Reb Shlomo Le'Eger, who sent him to learn by the Chiddush Arim in Warsaw, in Varsha. Reb Shlomo Le'Eger was a big misnagi, Rabbi Kiveger not. But Reb Shlomo Le'Eger was a big misnagi. Reb Kiveger wasn't a chassid by any stretch of the imagination, but he wasn't a misnagi. But Reb Shlomo Le'Eger was a heisa misnagi. He was a big misnagi. And his son Reb Leib Le'Eger became one of the biggest rebbes. He's a Mashiach's rebbe. Reb Leib Le'Eger, now the Torah of Reb Leib Le'Eger is the whole world. His Torah Eretz Mikvaita. So really, Reb Shlomo Le'Eger was the one who sent his son to the Chiddush Arim. He thought that he was just going to be learning Nigla by the Chiddushim, because the Chiddushim was the biggest in all of Poland in learning. But the Chiddushim also had things that he spoke about on Friday night and Shabbos. So it wasn't just the Shiurim and Gemara. There were other things going on there by the Chiddushim. So the rest, of course, is the story of what happened with Reb Leib Le'Eger, it's Meirdik. In the end, Reb Shlomo Le'Eger came, he tried very, very hard. He tried very hard to get Reb Leib Le'Eger away from the Kotzker at that time. There are many stories about that. Many of the stories were made up, as I explained in those shiurim many years ago, many of the stories were made up by the Maskilim. They're not true. Reb Shlomo Le'Eger never tore Kriya. Reb Shlomo Le'Eger never sat Shiva, God forbid. He never sat Shiva. It's crazy they say stories like this, that Reb Shlomo Le'Eger sat Shiva for Reb Leib Le'Eger. Never sat Shiva for Reb Leib Le'Eger. He was the apple of his grandfather's eye, Reb Kiveger's eye. Reb Shlomo Le'Eger never sat, his father never sat Shiva for him. But his father was very upset about what was going on in Kotsk with his son, and his father was very upset about his mechut, who was pishnai, a misnagid of Reb Shlomo Le'Eger. Reb Leib Le'Eger's father-in-law was a very strong misnagid, a very wealthy, strong misnagid. And wealthy people, most of the time, are very used to having their way. And Reb Leib Le'Eger didn't budge. Reb Leib Le'Eger couldn't budge, wouldn't budge. They say that when he came, so the father of Shlomo Le'Eger went to Kotsk, and he was determined, and he promised the Mechutin, he's going to bring him back, he's going to bring Leib Le'Eger back. After Reb Leib Le'Eger was a Kadosh Mirechem, holy of holies, no words to describe. We just have to daven that when we go to the tzion, we should be able to feel a little bit, a taste of that Kedusha of Reb Leib Le'Eger. Kaddish Mirechim, which in the end even his father-in-law, also couldn't argue with that. When Reb Shlomo Le'Eger came to Kotsk, the Chassidim were busy with something. It bothered him that they were drinking. The Chassidim were drinking. It was something, whatever it was, a yahrzeit or something, they were having a good time. They were drinking, they were making l'chaims, and they were singing the gunim. And Reb Shlomo Eigert, that was like a very bad start for the trip. And then to make matters worse, he asked some chassid, "Do you know where Reb Leibel is?" And the chassid said to him, "Velech Reb Leibel." "Which Reb Leibel?" So he said, "Which Reb Leibel?" "Reb Leibel Eigert." So then he said, "Oh, Reb Leibel Akiva's." Akiva Eigert's grandson. Also didn't make Reb Shlomo Eigert so happy. They called him Reb Leibel Akiva's. They skipped Reb Shlomo. Reb Leibel Akiva's. Reb Shlomo Eigert was a big, big person, big tzaddik. He was Talmud Chacham, but he was very strong as night. They used to call him Reb Leibel Akiva's, Leibel Akiva's. So the chassid told Reb Shlomo Eigert, he went to get some more mashke. So that was it, mamish, that was it. He went out of his kelim. That my son, the biggest iluyim in all of Europe, who was supposed to be the next Rabbi Akiva Eigert, was what, going to get mashke for a couple of shikarim here? He couldn't believe it. And he got very angry, and there was a whole tumult, and then he said that he's Shlomo Eigert, and they were, whoa, whoa. Everybody got very nervous. And they went and they told quickly to get the Chiddush Arim, who was part of the Chabura. And the Chiddushim came out also holding Samashka. And he couldn't believe it because Reb Shlomo Eigert had big derech eretz for the Chiddush Arim. He had big derech eretz. Nobody could send Chiddushim. And remember, he sent Reb Leibel to learn there. And the Chiddushim comes out also with the Lachai. And he sees Reb Shlomo Eigert's mamish, smoke. And Reb Shlomo Eigert said, "You too, Rabbi Shemaya, you too. And I want to go right now to speak to this Rebbe, to the Kotzke." So the Chedusha went, he says, "Come." And he went and he told the Kotzke that, Shlomo Eigert's here. So the Kotzke, it's not Adrab, a Talmud Chacham, it's a Kotzke. So Shlomo Eigert came in, and he was very strong. And he said that, "I am Goyze B'Gzeiras Kibud Av." It's a strong thing. "I'm Geizer B'Gzeiras Kibud Av, to give me back my son." That's what he said. So there are different gerses of what happened. There's a gerse that says that the Chedushim first poured, Kotzke poured a little schnapps. And first said Alechai. That probably was made up. I heard that somewhere. I don't know. That's not in the Svarim. But they like to hear that, I think, a little bit. There's a little more schnapps. Mastami didn't do that. But what he said is muskam. That what he said, the Kotzke said, the Kotzke wasn't afraid of anybody. So the Kotzke said, "Yegoyzu b'gzeiras av." I also know a little Gemara. The Gemara says there are three shutfim. There are three shutfim with every one of us. There's father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch. The part that came to Kotzke is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part. Your part is not, he never came here. I don't know what you have. The part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part of Reb Leibel came here, and you don't have any right to make any gzeiras on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part of Reb Leibel. That's what he said. So Shlomo says, there's nothing to talk about over here. He left. But in the end, everything worked out okay. The father-in-law didn't let Reb Leibel Eigert into the house, and he didn't let his daughter leave for a long time. I think her name was Reb Zimbashi. Wasn't allowed to leave for a long time. But in the end, he saw the Kedusha. It's a whole mice that's connected to that. How he saw the Kedusha of Reb Leibel Eigert. In the end, the father was mechabed him, and shalom was made. Reb Leibel Eigert is buried together with Reb Tzaddik. There's a little space that was in between. The two, we'll see. There was a space that was there. And Reb Leibel Eigert had a very great son that we've learned his stories many times, the Shevin Yehuda, Reb Avraham Alon. And the Olam believed that space was there for Reb Avraham Alon Eigert to be buried next to his father, Reb Leibel. But Reb Avraham Alon said no. The same way that my father, Reb Leibel, and Reb Tzaddik were inseparable in this world, they belong next to each other in the other world. So when we're going to see by Reb Tzadik, you'll see Reb Leibel is together with Reb Tzadik, and Reb Avramel is not. He's on the other side, outside. Not in, by the oil, but not together. So Reb Tzadik and Reb Leibel. That whole parasha of Reb Tzadik and Reb Leibel, and the years that Reb Leibel was Rebbe, and Reb Tzadik sat like a chassid mamish. And then afterwards, only after Reb Leibel took over. And why did they leave Kutsk, and what happened in Kutsk? All of this, you know, is discussed on these shiurim that I gave. I'm not going to go into now. Let's learn a little Torah from Reb Leibel. Should be a schuz for the tzaddik who's buried here, and for us who continue to learn his Torah. Page 17. From the parasha. They asked Cain Aaron. Page 17, Torah Semis from Reb Leibel. We learn Torah Semis in Shul all the time. But Lekovit, this place here in Lublin. Let's learn this Torah. Vayas Kain Aaron. Pirush Rashi Zal. Lahagid Shvoche Shal Aaron Shleishina. So everybody knows that Rashi says that Vayas Kain Aaron is a Shavach, is a praise of Aaron, that he didn't do anything different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. L'hagid shvoche shel Aaron shleishin. V'yadua kushi yisroiv mefarashi ha-Torah, ki ma shavach hu zeh l'Aaron shleishin. That's a shavach. The Aaron didn't change something, he didn't do anything differently. U'bevadai sh'Rashi zal medayi kehoigen al ha-posik v'yas kein, sh'nir kem yuzun, and Rashi's bothered by this as well. U'mamet taretz b'zeh, but what's Rashi's answer? Obviously, why does it have to say Vayas Kain Aaron? Of course Aaron did what he was told. So Rashi says it's a Shevach that he did what he was told. So Reb Leibel is asking, what does that add? What does that change? Shagam Zehu Kimusin. This also seems to be extra unnecessary. Loit Sarif Lahidiyazais. V'yesh Lema B'zeh. Din Yadua. It's no. Shabachol Maise B'reishes. That throughout the entire story of creation, after Hashem is Baruch created something, wherever He created something, Nemar it said, Vayihichein, and so it was, Vayihichein. Shemiyad Nishlam Hadover, Bechol Hashlemis Kitzivuyav Yisbaruch. Vayihichein means it was exactly what the Baruch Shalom said, so it was. Shlemus came kulam b'li b'chir, because all that it was created during the 6 days until man, everything is without free choice. It's b'li b'chir. Sulas b'briyas ha'or, and with the light, lachem amarius barchi hi'or. What's interesting, Reb Leibel says, is that when Hashem created light, it means during those days of creation, at the very beginning, when Hashem created light, it says Yihi Or. And Lo Nemar V'Yihi Chein. Rak V'Yihi Or. V'Yel Mekim Yihi Or V'Yihi Or. Hashem said there should be light and there's light. It doesn't say V'Yihi Chein. By everything else that Hashem created, it says V'Yihi Chein. And so it was B'Shlemus. It was perfect, the way that Hashem said. Ki Inyin Briyas Or. Because the Inyin of the creation of light. Hu Davar Shenitla B'Bchivas Adam. It's not light just that you see with your eyes. Light is something, how lichtig our lives are, how much light there is in the world. That's something which is b'b'chiras ha'adam. That's man's choice. Two people have the exact same type of circumstances. One person has light and the other person doesn't have light. This person can be living in the most difficult situation, but he has a lichtig life. His life is filled with light. You could have another person who's living a very difficult life, and a very easy life rather, and everything is bad. It's dark. It's always up to each and every one of us to make that choice. to make that choice in every situation that we're in. Of Vayhi Or, that this should be light. Hashem didn't make it that way. Hashem could give a person a wonderful family, but that doesn't mean that that person sees light in the family that he has. That person could be miserable and angry and broken and ruin his entire family, even though they're beautiful people. Whether you see light in your life and whether you're mashlim that light that Hashem gave you, that's up to you. It's always that choice. The person has to make the choice of light over darkness. A human being can't create from nothing. Yesh Me'ayin is only Hashem. Therefore, of course, Hashem created light. And that's why it says in the Torah, Yihi Or, let there be light. And through that Hashem unleashed His light into the world. But that light should be lichtig to that person. That you and I should enjoy and appreciate the light that Hashem has given us in life. In both the good things that we see is obviously good and the things that we don't see is obviously good. That we should be able to enjoy that light and to feel that light. Hashem doesn't force anybody to have a good attitude. Hashem's work doesn't force anybody. There are for sure people that could be in the same hotel and say, "What? This is a forced hotel. I wouldn't give it more than a 2.5." And you have another person says, "Gewaltig! What a place! And slept in the same kind of room, same kind of bed. Everything was the same. For this guy, it's choshech onan v'arofa. For the other guy, it's oy v'hi or. It's mamish luchti. Same with everything. You have that. We see that every shul is a microcosm of Am Yisrael. You know that. I talk about this a lot. You see that you have to have a certain matzav. Somebody stopped me the other day. One of the chevra that I met, and he said to me, he's not here now, but he said to me, "What are you doing, Rebbe, about the floor in the shul?" So I said to him, "I'm davening on it." He said, "That, you know, Rebbe, that's not what I mean. Like, what's going on with the floor in the shul? This is supposed to be finished a long time ago." "I don't know the pratim. I don't take care of the floor. I don't know. I know that the guys are trying, and there was a whatever. The guys, they want also to have a nice floor." And there'll be another person who will say, "Is there something I could do to help? Or, you know, there's something about the pshitas that we could enjoy, not permanently, but it's nice for a little bit, you know?" It's always like that. That's not, that the Baruch Shalom didn't make that. That's up to the person. Zelay nitba b'teva habriya. Zelay nitba b'teva habriya. Rak nishal b'chivas od. The person has to be mevara that bibchirasa. That's his bechira. V'yesh lekaven lazem amorim zal roa shein ha'olam kedai v'chulo v'gonzel tzadikim losu lavo. And that is hinted at in the famous Ram Chazal that the light of creation was too great, and the Hashem going to use the light. So Hashem hid the light of creation for the tzadikim losu lavo. So all this I'm talking about. What is this ora gonzel? What's this hidden light? So the simple thing to say is that no, you know, I might have a lousy attitude now, but when Mashiach comes, then I'm going to really be happy. Then I'm going to be a happy person. When Mashiach comes, I'm going to be happy. So that's those who take that Chazal, learn it that way, that it means that the Uragonis is going to be revealed to us in love. Meaning that in the future, I will see how things are really good. But Reb Leibler says, that's not what it really means. It's talking about in this world, the tzaddikim in this world. Because the way of the tzaddikim in this world is to be able to detect that light, to see that light, and take note in anything, in everything of the or. And to separate it from the, and to say it's not chayshach. Shehen yivaru ha'or b'shleimus. Hashem left it up to the tzaddikim to be mevara the or b'shleimus. Therefore, when Hashem created light, it did not say Vayihi Chen. It doesn't say that. It can't say that because it's not complete. Hamor al Havayis Adavar B'Shleimus. Because Vayihi Chen means that Hashem made this and made that, every, all the stuff in the world. That's Vayihi Chen. Because the Shleimus, that's left up to man. All it says in Pasuk is Vayihi. Whether you are able to say Vayihi, that's up to me and you. To say Vayihi, it's Taka light. Vayihi. Raknema Vayihi. However, after Bnei Yisrael makabel the Torah, when his daka chuli rais haraki Torah, through a life of Torah, it becomes much, much, much easier for each and every one of us to see the Torah and everything. For who came a Mishkan, and the Mishkan was built. From where light, as I'll say, light goes out into the world. For whom it was Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen was placed in charge of the or, of the light, of the candles, of Baalos HaSaneis. Lahayir la'olam aydei hadlokas amenorah b'mikdash, to bring light, to reveal the light of the world. Through lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki adu mizar HaKadosh shemrum es b'shmai. Ki Aaron hu oisiyas nira. Aaron is the same letters as the word nira. There are drushes from the Baal Tanya and Tzemetzem to begin. That Aaron is the letters nira. To be seen. To be revealed. K'mai shenemar ba'orcha nira or. Hashem, in your light we see light. With the light that Hashem gave us with the Torah. And the tzaddik, and Aaron HaKohen is the Rebbe of all the tzaddikim of light. We're able to see light. They help us to see light. This connects to what we learned from the Chayzer. Be'orcha nira or, ubay nishlam tachlis amakuvin mibriyas ha'or. And then Hashem's intention, when He created light, becomes completed. Shenevara ata b'shleimus al zeh nemar vayas kein Aaron. And that is what is hinted at here in the pasuk. Vayas came Aaron. And Aaron came to the world. Vayas came. That's how they like Rabbi Label, that type of the Masikas. The Indian of Aaron HaKohen is Vayas came. Everything that Tzaddik is Vayas came. Came is the good, is the Toiv, is Mavar, the Or of creation. Where there it didn't say just that Vayamu Kimi Or. And the Tzaddik comes along and teaches us Vayi came. Vayas came Aaron. Aaron was the one who brought that came into our lives in a strong way. He helps us. Now, how sweet are the words of Rashi. Lahagid shvacha shel Aaron shalei shina. Vayas kein Aaron teaches us the shevach, the great praise of Aaron shalei shina, that he didn't change anything. Ki shevach godol v'bazel Aaron. The shevach of Aaron is that until now the light was only Vayihi'or, but it was not Vayihi'chein. Because it's always left up to man's choice. And man is fickle and unpredictable. And man without the tzaddik and without Torah, there are going to be shinuyim in his bechira. He's going to change light into darkness. But if you attach yourself to the Torah, and if you attach yourself to the Tzaddik, Lahagid Shvach Shel Aaron, the Shevach of Aaron is Vayas Kain in such a way, Lahagid Shvach Shel Aaron, Shloi Shina, that you'll see the good in everything, and you're not going to distort the light that Hashem created in the world. Loi Shina, you're not going to mishana the beauty of the world that Hashem made. You're not going to make Shinuyim in the beauty, the light that Hashem gave us in our lives. It's going to remain the way that Hashem gave it. Vayas kein Aaron. Balzeh ba'akosuk ledia vayas kein Aaron lahagid shvachai shaloi shina. The shevach of Aaron Ishleishina. He saw the beauty for what it really was. He didn't change it into darkness. He saw it for what it was. That's the whole inyan of Reb Leib Leib. Every Torah that the Tzaddik says is a representation, is the aura of the Tzaddik himself. We should be zayich the taste of this life. Let's do the piece from Reb Tzaddik. 10 minutes, and Yitzchak Mordechai, we're way past the time. How? No, tell me seriously. How, we're very far off. This will take 10 minutes. Reb Tzaddik, let's go. I'm not going to talk about the Kohen's life at all. Anyway, we don't understand a thing about him. No, we don't. Total mystery. Somebody tried to write a book about Reb Tzaddik. There's a booklet about Reb Tzaddik. They tried to write a book. There's not much that we know, can't understand. Can't understand. There are many, many strong from the Kohen. There are many, many more that we don't have that were destroyed. Reb Tzaddik HaKohen. I think that Kalman Fogel's grandfather learned by Reb Tzaddik. I think he once told me that. That Kalman's grandfather was by Reb Tzaddik. He died in 1900, not that long ago. I think he said his grandfather was by Reb Tzaddik. Tzikas HaTzaddik Nun Beis. Page 18. Let's go very fast. Al yitam ha'odim in yira rishoy misra'am ha'olam v'holchim v'mizgadlam v'chal yoyim. A person shouldn't wonder and shouldn't be shocked to see that there are more and more rishoyim, there are more evildoers and wicked people in the world. V'holchim v'mizgadlam v'chal yoyim. They seem to be getting stronger and stronger every day. I don't know, we're in a little bit of a bubble when we're here, but before we left there was a halmaisa that happened. There was first, last week was in Manchester. And then there were six in where? In London? Yeah, so every week we hear, every week there are different ma'isim, and it seems that the Rishoyim are Misra'abim and Misgalim in the world. And when those 20,000, I'm sorry, when those 50,000 Sfarim were burning for 20 hours outside this building, it looked like the Nazis were going to be fed. They were misgadlim and misrab. Al yitam ha'adim im yiru v'shoyim misrab v'olim v'holchim misgadlim v'chal yoyim ki yedim. A person has to know. She Hashem is baruch hu baal ha'kerem. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the baal ha'kerem. He's the master of the vineyard. It's his vineyard. The world is his. K'mosh ha'kosev K'mosh ha'amru V'yedei ativoy shel kerem yoyisim yimenu. And Hashem knows more what's going on in this world and what should be in this world better than us. And every single second, whatever's happening in the world is over the cheshbon, and Hashem is making tikkunim b'chol eis v'reg every moment. Chazal said that Mashiach can come in a generation that's either completely good and zakai, or it's a generation that's kulachayev, that's terrible. The Yamid Melach Kasha Kahaman. That Hashem, in such a generation, could bring up a king who is more horrible and whose gzeiras are worse than Haman. Like the guy who sent those people to come to this place. She yeshuva b'tshuva, and Hashem has a cheshbon how the world has to be changed, it has to be fixed, and tshuva needs to be to take place. V'yom Chazal, eizid dor chovi mikol ador eizid dor hamidbar. Chazal say, what generation was very, very dear to Hashem? It was the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the Midbar. But they should zochu l'kabbalas Torah. M'chein al derish al shlom ha-melech also, omish nizbasu l'chayim haba, and they should zochu l'bini b'es ha-mikdash. There are certain generations that are Hashem's favorites. So the generation of the Midbar was a favorite, the generation of shlom melech and the b'es ha-mikdash was a favorite. Vein tzarek loimer, derish al-mashiach. Our generation is one of those that are Hashem's favorites. Ayde Shashem's Baruch Yavim L'tshuva and our generation, meaning this time period that what happened here is part of. That somehow in a deep mysterious way that only the Baal HaKerem understands that something better and greater has brought about. Tshuva. Baal Karch Shasharish Nishmosim Yimokim Gavoa Yoser Mikol HaDar is therefore the souls of the Jews of the last generation of the end of time of Mashiach, our generation, is Gevar Yisrael higher than all earlier generations. We're learning this from Rav Kook also. Than all the earlier generations. The top line was punctured. So it says in the top line, on page 19, that was also punctured. The Be'emes, not that there's a time the person who did this a taiva, it's just Mamsha taiva. The Be'emes, Kol Chayte Yisrael Einem Be'etzem. Reb Tzadik says in the top first line, that Be'emes, the truth is, Kol Chayte Yisrael, all Jewish sinners, Einem Be'etzem. It's not really who they are. That's not the Vayhi Chayim of who Jew is. Rakim Shulam Chazal La'asa Dekoi Benichilfi. Chazal compare the Jewish soul to the souls of Jews who are sinners to a very beautiful flower that's among weeds. V'lachein gam ha'yisurim ayidei achet sh'achoyach oiktsa, and the suffering that we have is like the flower that's being hurt by the thorn. Al k'shi yisarf v'achoychem sh'svivayis. However, when all of the thorns will be burned, when all of our enemies, when all that is evil in the world will be burned and destroyed, then tishar hasheshana b'shleimusa, then the rose will be as beautiful as she really is. All the ugliness is what we've picked up over the years, being among thorns. But then when the thorns will be burnt, then the rose will appear in all of her beauty. There's nothing more beautiful than the rose among thorns. Kamashikosev, as it says, Shirashirman and Zayar, and even though we see that there are more rishayim and all the time crazy things going on in the world, and it seems that the world is a bit more riches and terrible things, the change, the tshuva could be, the return of Am Yisrael could be mamish in a moment. Where the person says that he's Makadish woman, Amanasti is a tzaddik gomor. Vonu bevakshim hashiveinu, and we ask Hashem, hashiveinu Hashem alecha v'nashuva. Vak Hashem is baruch tzovach, Hashem screams to us, shuvu elai v'ashuvu alecha. And we're having this inyan with Hashem. U'mistama b'dor shekul achayiv, and mistama in a generation that is as difficult and as sinful as the generation of the end of time. Al karcha shiyoz didan notzach. Then certainly we're going to be victorious. Meaning what? That in the end Hashem will concede to our request of Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'neshuva, because Rabbi Hashem, we don't know how to return to you. We don't know how. So it's going to be didon natzach. We're going to be victorious in asking Hashem and begging Hashem of Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'neshuva. Because Hashem is baruch yirtza, and when Hashem is baruch wants, because Hashem is baruch yirtza. In one moment, all of the thorns that surround us, all of that which brings us down, will be burnt, will be destroyed. And everything will be as Hashem's will. And then it will be clear to us that even the suffering that we had at the hands of the thorns will be suffered. Also, was Litzarech, but the Balakirim knew had to be. And we'll then understand that now will be the biggest Nechama. We should be zeichet to see that, and should be b'mehem yameinu amen. Amen.
Brings together the pleasure in your bite. Ainu b'kicha b'leinim, nagi shvach. To put in both
nagi shvach.
Nagi shvach. Shulei shini in sleep. Ainu b'kicha b'leinim. And that's the route to those places to see. Connected.
Hi, we're ready to.
Not even a train. Because I tried all kinds of different.
Rabbi, the better story is how Leibola, how he made up with his father-in-law, how he jumped out the window.
Yes, because there he saw his big sad.
Big sad.
So there you go, Tom Huckman. I'm surprised he didn't say it in Brera.
And what?
He didn't tell the Pesach in Brera.
In Brera. Well, am I afraid?
Surprised. Crazy story.
The shares are amazing.
I guess he saw that you can't.
He couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't.
You
couldn't. You couldn't.
I'm with somebody.
Yeah, I'm interested in this.